Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, hour three, let's go. Lance Briggs is my guest for a little while. What did you order today?
Buffalo chicken salad.
Well, we thank the folks here at Dirty Nelly's for the buffalo chicken salad.
Sure do.
And Miller Lite for bringing us out for the Top Draft Show. We do it every week. Next week, we're going out west.
Are we? Where we headed?
We're going to DeKalb.
Ooh, boy.
Going out to Fatty's.
Ah.
It'll be a packed house. Fatties, they come through.
Yeah.
They come out. So my nephews will be out there. That'll be good.
Okay.
A good opportunity to see them. But it's far.
I don't mind.
It's where Jesus left his sandals.
Right.
No doubt about
it. We do it for the people.
We do. We like going out and being with the people. And Lance is out here saying hello to everybody and taking pictures with folks and all sorts of stuff as we talk about Bears. All right, I've stalled long enough.
Okay.
Let's talk about Leonard Floyd.
Here we go.
Take
a breath.
Let's see.
Right. Come on. Structure this.
I don't want to give you a quizzical question.
Yeah.
All right. Where do you think Leonard Floyd could improve the most?
Oh, man. Oh, almost everywhere. He was drafted what, seven?
Yep.
He was drafted seven, right? For a number seven pick, I'll go back because I did this this comparison again. You know, two picks after where he got picked, Brian Urlacher was picked. Okay. The expectation that was lifted for Brian Urlacher, he met, right? But it was always high. His expectation was always high, whether he met that expectation or he didn't, but he surpassed that expectation, in my opinion. That's what my expectation of a guy who went two picks before the Hall of Famer should be. You know, so in that case, when I say pretty much everywhere, I think he should be dominant. I think he was picked to be dominant, right?
Why is he not close to that yet? Is he staying blocked?
You know what? The one thing that sticks out of my mind is the coach staff, when they draft him, they said, "Well, his athleticism jumps out at you." Athleticism is great. I love it. You know, but at the end of the day, you need a football player. You know, so athleticism, that, you know, when they say athleticism, that means this guy's got a lot of potential and we see this guy developing into a great football player. That's not always the case. And so we've been waiting to see the athleticism turn into a dominant football player, and that's not the case. You see, we picked up a dominant football player on the other side. You know, now he's super athletic. You know, Khalil Mack, super athletic, but he's a dominant football player. And if you look at their stature, you can see where probably the difference is between the two. You know, Leonard's he's probably faster, you know, to the point of attack. But Khalil Mack, he's a better all-around football player, pass rusher. You know, he has what you call football skill, football savvy. He understands how to make plays. He understands not only to get to the ball, but he understands how to take the ball away.
So Floyd drafted ninth. They traded up from 11 to draft him ninth. You and Alex were talking about that. There was a throw that Darnold made where Floyd is rushing on the outside.
He ran a game. I think he ran a game. He ran a game, so he came on the outside. He came free. That was in Alex's whereas, you know, that was his most positive pass rush.
And then there was another play where the throw went right by him.
Yeah.
And it was almost like he wasn't aware that the ball was coming out.
I think one of the main points that Alex made that I 100% agree with is if you're a guy who's out there on that field and you're not producing men sacks, hurries, and things like that, then and if it were me, I'd be busting my tail, hauling butt all over that field. I try to get around that ball as much as I can. If I'm not getting a sack, if I'm not getting here, as soon as that ball is thrown, I'm gone. You know, I'm somehow going to get my name called.
And so far, he hasn't done that enough. And it's weird because you would think the scenario is set up for him really well. You, at least at the beginning of the season, you had Khalil Mack. You have Akeem Hicks, who I think is just such a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him play in and play out versus the middle of the line is fascinating because he takes up space and they will double team him.
Yep.
So the double teams move from
right.
Khalil Mack not being out there.
Goldman, Nichols. It has to be a situation where you have to be licking your chops. Like it's prime for him to succeed. And that's what's the biggest question mark. Everybody should be eating on that defensive line. And it seems like everybody's eating it except for one guy.
Okay. So there is an in-depth answer to your thoughts on Leonard Floyd. And I still have some hope. And I might be the only one at this point that still has some hope. But I just feel like there's so much raw talent there.
Is that a lot of athleticism?
Yeah. And I'm just... How do you get through to a guy like that's got some of the physical gifts, but maybe isn't as heady of a football player?
I don't know. You know, every individual is different. Lovie was my relationship with Lovie was he would challenge different guys in different ways. You know, and for me, it was always, you know, the standard for your position is Derrick Brooks. You know, you made some plays this week, but you're no Derrick Brooks, you know. And so when I made my first Pro Bowl, you know, I told him, you know, I walked up, you know, pounding my chest a little bit, practice, said, yeah, I'm a Pro Bowler now. And Lovie turned, he was like, you're not a Pro Bowler. You made it to a Pro Bowl. You go to two, you know, then you're a Pro Bowler. Like, I'll sunk my ship immediately. you know, but I got, you know, and then obviously the next year he said, you're right. He said, you're right. You did it. You did it. So it was just, but that was, you know, Lovie could have said that to, you know, Leon Joe, you know, and he might not have responded the same way that I did. You know, every individual is different.
I'm hopeful for him. I remember Wale telling me a story of how Lovie had called him into the office. Or saw him in the hallway and said, hey, big guy, we could use a little bit more from you. And I'm just like, Lovie seems like he was a pretty good manipulator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time. It would always come out. There was something that we might have been lacking or we were beat on, you know, the week before that he would come out. He said, I got my money that you're going to take the cheese today, Lance. You know, like a high low, getting a high load, you know, or I guaranteed it, Brian's not going to get this adjustment today. You know, so which actually in turn, when as soon as the play happened, we make the play. So everybody's jumping for joy. We told you, Lovie, we were going to get it.
So you guys, you took the challenge to heart and wanted to prove him wrong when he challenged.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Absolutely.
I think that's a really good thing.
Yep.
There's a couple of more people on Facebook actually have gotten into the mix now.
Okay.
Hey, Lance, it feels like a different member of the secondary has a great game each week. By my watch, it's Amos's game against the Bills. How's Adrian Amos played so far this year, and what do you expect from the Bears' defense against the Bills?
I think Amos has been all right. You know, I don't think he's been spectacular. I think last year we were calling his name out quite a bit, you know, for him coming up, making some plays. It's hard to say that he's playing spectacular because of the three previous weeks. The positive thing about this Jets game is that guys did make tackles. They got guys down. You have to do that if you were able to get off the field and force the Jets to 3 out of 14 on third down. So, you know, what I'm looking for in this Buffalo Bills game is them to continue to do that. The third down is it's a huge down, you know, and we call it the money down because it can be the difference between you being on the field for three plays or being on the field for 17-play drive. You know, and I don't know if you guys have been on the field for a 17-play drive, but on the 14th, 15th, and 16th play, you're gassed. I don't care who you are, you're gassed. You might be conditioned to play through it, you know, but that's you're getting into the gut check time.
Well, we'll see I don't think they have to worry about 13 or 14 play drives against Buffalo. Did you watch any of the Monday night game?
I got to see a little bit.
Oh, my God.
They're
terrible offensively.
Hot mess.
They're really awful, and it looks like Nathan Peterman is going to start. And they're supposedly going to sign Matt Barkley to be their backup.
Matt Barkley can go in spurts. In spurts. He gave us hope for 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
And then he took it all away from us.
And like, oh, there's five interceptions. There you go. Right. It's not very, very good at all. What did you think of the situation in Green Bay where you have them playing the Rams? They played the Rams tough out there in L.A. They're down two. The kickoff comes. Ty Montgomery apparently is upset that he was not being used in a previous series, wants to make a play, even though they told him down the ball in the end zone. He brings the ball out and fumbles and subsequently gets traded 2 days later.
Oh. You know, Ty Montgomery, he's not in the caliber of a Devin Hester. You know, he had no business trying to do that. Just don't do it. You know, I know that you're upset about this, you're upset about that, so you're like, I want to make a play. You know, here's my chance, and nobody really can stop me now because I'm out here. But you got to be smart. Your best chance to win is number 12. You know, that's why they pay him the big bucks, and you best bet is to get him on the field. Best thing the opposite team can do is keep him off. And that's exactly what you did. You kept him off the field. You
kept him off the field with an opportunity to go take out an
undefeated team.
That's been playing great. And the Packers seem like Aaron Rodgers is so good. Like, if there were any other quarterback except for maybe Tom Brady, Drew Brees, that team might not have any wins.
Correct.
And there they were competing with the Rams on the road.
That's why they can make so many moves. That's why they can take receivers and cycle them in, cycle them out, tight ends, cycle them in, cycle them out, because it's really just a bunch of zeros, you know, not by the value, but I mean, it's a bunch of zeros, like it's just a bunch of X's and O's that number 12 is going to throw to. And whoever it is, they can get a guy off the street that's athletic. They can take a guy that's athletic, and that guy's going to thrive in that offense because of number 12.
This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero, and finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. This text came in, 67011 is the way you can do that. Hey, Lance, Akeem Hicks and other Bears defenders have been getting snarky when asked about Khalil Mack in interviews. Oh, this is a great question.
Hold on a minute. Snarky.
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 Oh, you want me to define?
Please.
Perturbed. No, wait.
Four.
Annoyed.
I like perturbed. I can rock with perturbed.
Annoyed.
Okay. Snarky.
Here's what I think.
I did it for you, Alex.
I think that we should just, like, every week we should just do a glossary.
Without a doubt.
Like, I should just throw out a word that I know that he doesn't know the meaning to.
Yes.
So that we get that same reaction. All right. So let me whiteboard this for everyone who's in the room or might be listening or watching. I said the word quizzical, and I use it in a phrase. They have a quizzical look on their face, and Alex was like, I don't know what that means.
Will you please explain it? And why do you have to use that?
He's acting like I'm using a word that I didn't say, like anti-disestablishmentarianism. Like, I didn't use that word. I said quizzical.
You should never use that word associated with football.
Well, I'm probably never going to use that word other than this segment. But he was standing there looking at me like he had never heard the word quizzical. And in my mind, I'm like, you could start with quiz. And anyway,
he's from White Springs, Florida. They have dirt roads, okay? Dirt roads.
That Florida education was on display. Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. So on the football after show that I do with Lance, Alex, and Matt on NBC Sports Chicago, I'm thinking I might just throw in a word each week.
You should.
Now,
yes.
Here's the thing. Do I use a real word, or do I use a word that I'm going to tell you and Matt what it means?
I think that I might just use a big word the wrong way. He won't catch on anyway.
I like that idea. All right, so wait, back to the question. The question was about Bears players being annoyed about asking defenders being asked about Khalil Mack and his impact on the team. And this texter wants to know, did that ever happen with you with Urlacher, where you would get annoyed? Also, okay.
There were times where, you know, Brian didn't have a good game and the question kept being asked, you know, is, you know, how was Brian able to carry the team today? You know, or questions like that. And I'm like, he actually didn't have a really good game today. You know, but I wouldn't say that. I would just, you know, focus on, you know, we all just, you know, I would give the Mitchell Trubisky, you know, we just got better today.
We need to get better, and
we worked as a team and everything
and
like
butter.
That. So. Right. You know, that's just the way it goes. You got to expect that. You got to expect that. That's the, you know, that he's the face of that defense. You know, so you gotta know how to roll with the punches.
I would imagine that it's a weird position to be put in, because obviously you went to multiple Pro Bowls. You had other guys on that team that went to multiple Pro Bowls as well. But we do know that Khalil Mack for this team, remember, that defense didn't have any Pro Bowls.
Right.
And here comes the baddest man on the planet.
Boom.
And joins your defense. Obviously, it's going to change the way that you're looked at as a defense.
You know, if you get into, you know, getting snarky about certain things.
I like that you're using that.
You know, that's where the division starts to happen. You know, one thing you got to understand is understanding, knowing, you know, everybody has a role. You know, everybody has a role, you know, and we had a guy named Jamar Williams. You know, which ironically, he went to ASU and he was my backup. And I went to Arizona, obviously. So he's a good linebacker. He was a good linebacker, you know, and I ended up getting hurt. We played St. Louis and he had about 16 tackles, and he would always say, you know, I want to start. So he asked for a trade, but he was a really great special teams player. He asked for a trade, and he ended up getting traded to Carolina we got Chris Harris back. And he went to Carolina expecting to be a starter. You know, within the next couple of weeks, I asked Bob, I'm like, is he starting? He's like, no, he's playing special teams, and he's backing up all the linebacker positions. He's doing the same thing there that he was doing for the Bears. But, you know, he would have been in a better position with the Bears who had drafted him, who he had a great fit with. You know, it's just about understanding everybody has a role. You know, and when you get to the point where you're upset because somebody's getting more attention or they keep asking you questions about somebody else, that's when division starts to happen. And then you want to go play for another team, and you end up on another team, and you end up, you know, you may not see the playoffs ever again.
No diss. If I were a special teams player, I don't know if I'd ever not want to play for Dave Tobe.
Correct. Correct.
If I'm already playing for Dave Tobe,
yeah,
I think I'm going to stay
with Dave Tobe.
Because
right. You're right.
I'm going to be on a lot of film
yep.
with great returns and great designs and mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
Not everybody is going to be like Alshon Jeffery and have that type of opportunity. Now, we knew when he went there that he got put into the driver's seat, you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he went and got himself a Super Bowl, which
and played,
is great for
and
him.
And played well.
Well, yeah.
And he played well for them throughout the season and was really good
yeah.
in the Super Bowl itself. We're going to take one final break, come back, talk with Lance about the game and whatever other odds and ends that are on our minds. We need to start. How about this? If you're watching on the Facebook stream and you heard us talking about everything with Alex and words, if you just want to throw a couple of words our way that we might want to mix into the conversation with number 96 on
anything
Sunday.
Anything with more than four letters is going to be difficult. Go ahead.
That's messed up. That's messed up. Back after this on the score. I got a couple more minutes with Lance Briggs. By popular demand, I did an interview with Brent Sopel last week. I am going to bring that back around 8:40. It's really good, and since it's Dyslexia Awareness Month, and Brent suffers from dyslexia, it's a really important conversation. I'm going to share that with you after Lance and I are done messing around here on the radio. I wanted to show you this, man. One of my favorite donut shops is in Palatine.
Donut shops.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking donuts.
I travel. I mean, wherever I go, I usually hit up donut shops, but Palatine has one of the best. It's called Spunky Dunkers. Okay? Look at this donut.
Whoa.
Yeah, man.
It looks like a Hostess cupcake.
It's got a little bit of that going on in it. I brought everyone here that was working on it. They call it the chocolate cream puff. Man, it is amazing. So shout out to Spunky Dunkers, because it's not often that I get to Palatine, but when I do, I always stop there.
Dunk my donuts.
And so I brought a half a dozen for the crew. Did you guys even leave any? Is there any left? So the guys enjoyed it, but shout out to them. I appreciate them. I'm going to try to get them for the football after show.
All right.
Well, before the game.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely before the game.
One, make sure we have some food in the house.
It can be rough some days.
Just in case.
Mm-hmm.
That is the case. So what's key against Buffalo on Sunday?
Whew. Well, defensively, I think this is a game you have to take advantage of, you know, Nathan Peterman or Derek Anderson if he gets in the game. But I think you have to take advantage. I think this is a game where we see our D-line get back to getting some sacks. I think we take the ball away. I think we score on defense. I think we, Buffalo's defense is pretty good. I think they're going to give us some troubles, but I think our offense is going to have so many opportunities because of our defensive play and their offensive play that this is a game that we're going to see the Bears win. I think across the board, all of us will pick the Bears this week.
I would imagine that Buffalo is going to bring the house to try and confuse Mitchell Trubisky because I feel like that's their only way. It's kind of like the situation we started off with the show. That's probably going to be their only way they're going to generate points.
Right.
Is if they're going to do it on the defensive side.
The special teams, yeah.
So if you're Mitch, what are you prepping for this week?
You need to get your zone, your sights, know where your hot reads are going to be. Know where you're going to – and on top of that, just make sure that it's one throw at a time in practice. Make sure you complete all your throws. Make sure that every throw that you throw in practice means enough that you get it to that player, because that has to carry over on Sunday. One of the things, when he has an opportunity to complete it to his players, I don't want to talk about after the game, this one went a little bit high, that one went a little bit high. Oh, well, we threw 50-50 balls. I was throwing a 50-50 ball. I've never interviewed anybody say he threw a 50-50 ball.
Well, Boogie, we're done, man.
Are we already?
Yeah, man. Time flies, brother. That's the way you're supposed
Halloween
to do it.
Tomorrow and everything. Are you dressing up?
Well, I've done enough dressing up. This past weekend was enough for me. I'm excited to give out candy.
When we were sitting down there, I asked. I said, "Look, they stitched a hole in this costume."
Your bear costume.
And I said, "Hey, can you see the hole?" And Slav said, "No, you can't see it. The camera's not that."
We could see the hole, but we couldn't see into the hole.
Well, that's important.
So, because.
Right.
So you were fine.
Okay. All right. Because that was the first thing. I had text messages. Everybody I ran into said, "Man, you got a big hole in your pants."
But yeah, but you already knew that.
Yeah, because it was stitched that way.
Right.
Right. Anyways, I didn't want, sometimes you don't want your business out for the whole world to see.
Well, yes, it wasn't out there for the whole world to see, but Lance's costume was pretty funny. He was It was him on top of
Staley.
Staley. Put that in air quotes. I thought it turned out really well. I like Matt's costume. He's Django.
Unchained.
I thought that was really funny. He went all the way there with the hat and the sunglasses and the gloves.
I wish you would have had a Kangol hat.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about doing the Kango with it would have maybe next year I'll do that with it. But yeah, I had the LL Cool J look going on a little bit with the pulled up pants and all that good stuff. So it was all good. And Alex didn't dress up.
Yep. Hopefully we can get him supercharged to do it next year.
Maybe he'll be a team player.
Yeah.
Next time instead of the three of us doing something and him being Daniel Manning in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I figure since you guys were throwing out shade.
That's a wow. I wish I had a penalty flag right now. I would throw it. Shoot,
man. Boogie, thanks for being out here, man.
Got it.
We'll be out in DeKalb. Ladies and gentlemen.
Always fun.
Lance Briggs.
Yeah.
So Lance is getting ready to head out of here. I still got some more show to do. You can stick around for it. I understand if you leave because that's what happens all the time. Lance walks out the door and then it's ghost. Everyone else is out of here for sure. But there's some more stuff that I want to do on the show tonight. A couple of interviews that I want to bring your way, especially the Brent Sobel one because it was so good last week. And the reaction that I got from it was really good. And I figured with this month not being over just yet that we should probably bring it back as well. See you, sir.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate you. Always, always, man. And I didn't have a chance to talk about the Bulls as of yet. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. So, last night, I ordinarily drive to the Score, but I've been feeling a little froggy like a commuter. So I took the train in. So my train left a little bit after 7 o'clock. I don't live very far from the station. My ride home is about 15 minutes. From the time that I left the Score studio to the time that I got home, the game went from starting to the Bulls being down 30 points. And I'm just sitting there going, they're down 30? What is happening? And then we found out what was happening. Klay Thompson was out there just shooting everything, and it was going down. Am I a bad person because I was rooting for the Warriors to get 100 points before the half? Because that was just, I mean, come on. I know the Bulls' defense is bad, and that's like one of their things, how bad they are at defense. But that was horrendous last night. And you expect it. It's the Warriors. The Warriors do that sort of stuff. But it doesn't seem to matter. It could be Durant can do it. Curry can do it. Klay Thompson, how can you have your third option on a team be a 50-point dude? That's how good the Warriors are. That guy is a third option on their team, and he can drop 50 on you like nobody's business. It was upsetting. They scored 150 points in regulation, and they weren't really trying in the second half. In the second half, it was the backups. And sure, the Bulls ended up scoring over 120 points, but come on. Ooh, they need some help. I don't know where they're going to get it. Joakim Noah was in the house last night. You think you're going to sign it? No, I'm just playing. He's still getting that Knicks money, though. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Over the last 25 years, the Chicago Wolves have stayed true to their mission of providing winning hockey at affordable prices. Don't miss out on this special 25th anniversary season. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for schedule and ticket information. A texter said it was like watching NBA Jam. Yeah, you damn right it was. It was. He's on fire. That's what it was. Our guy Tim Kitzrow could just be screaming it. The Bulls are going to have a lot of nights where they are outclassed offensively, but what we saw last night was historic. It's bad because we're Bulls fans, but if you're a fan of greatness, it's magical to watch. And how about the Warriors being like, yeah, so Klay's got it tonight. So let's just feed Clay the ball. We're going to win this game by 30 points. So let's just feed him the ball for the rest of the night. And the fact that all of those guys are cool with that, I think is what makes them amazing. That it can be Clay's night or Durant's night or Steph's night or occasionally Draymond Green's night. And it doesn't matter to them. They know that they're so far ahead of what every other team in the league is doing that it just doesn't matter. I don't know if you went to the game or if you watched, but I felt like it was spectacle enough. Like, it was one of those games where had they been down 20 points, you probably turn it off and you turn on the Monday Night Football game and get an idea of what the Bills are doing. But you, wait, they're how many points did they score at the half? 92? Yeah, I'm watching that. That's a historic ass whooping. That's what that is. And we got to see it up close. It wasn't too far off of what happened to me in fantasy this past week. Man, I got beat by 100 points in fantasy this week.
That was
ugly. How hard that is to do?
I was watching that. I'm like, man, I feel bad for Lawrence right now.
I got destroyed. Here's the great thing about it, though, Tony. There is no combination. I don't feel horrible about it because there was no combination of my roster that I could have put out there that was going to make up that 100 points this past week. It wasn't like those weeks where you get beat and you're like, man, if I would have just played this guy instead of this guy, I would have won. You could have put my roster out there twice and we would not have won the game. You could have doubled my score and we would have not won the game. And this is one of those times in fantasy. Sometimes you got to cut a guy to send a message, I think, even in fantasy. So we'll see who I cut to do that. I promised you an interview with Brent Sopel. I'm going to bring that to you next up. If you missed it, don't miss it again because it's really good and very important. That's next on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes from the corner, nothing but net. And like rummaging through his girlfriend's top dresser drawer, he finds nothing but nylon. Kaboom!
We have been giving out some bear swag here at Dirty Nelly's. Whole table just like won a bunch of sweatshirts over there. I'm sorry, my man. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Your whole table wants some gear, which is great. We're here courtesy of Miller Lite. Lance Briggs just walked out the door. I'm going to be here until 10 o'clock. We have got some more great stuff for you before we get out of here. I didn't even realize because we're in a kind of a back room. It's raining out there. This looks like it's pouring. All right. Well, great. Hang out with us. We'll make it nice and easy for you. Last week, I was reminded of this because the last time I had Brent Sopel on the show, we were actually here at Dirty Nelly's, believe it or not. It's really weird that last week he came in and I said, man, I'm going out to Dirty Nelly's next week. But Soap's one of my guys. We worked together over at NBC5. And we used to do hockey stuff together, like all the post-game shows that they would have. And we've become pretty good friends. And I didn't know that he was dyslexic. And we talked about it. And he struggled with that throughout his entire childhood of having a learning disability and not quite understanding what was going on with him. And it's really shaped his life. So we talked hockey. I don't want you to think the way that we edited this, it may seem like we didn't talk hockey, but we did. We talked hockey first. But since it's Dyslexia Awareness Month, I wanted to share this again because Brent's story and message is really, really powerful. So I wanted to share this with you. This is us talking about how he found out that he had a learning disability.
So I was diagnosed when I think I was about 35 years old that I have dyslexia. You know, I struggled all through school. I hated every second of it. You know, I was reading at a grade four level going into high school as a freshman and never could figure out why. I was always labeled as lazy. You know, you're just an athlete. You're dumb here. I'll just pass you through. No big deal. But 35, find out what it is. And I'm a visual. You know, I need to see things. Thank goodness that, you know, we had video or, you know, on the board, whiteboard, you're drawing plays out because as you talked about, I didn't know what gross and net money was till I was 40 years old. And I had to see a video of Richard Branson talking about it. He drew a net and drew some fish in there. And he said, you pick up your net and you walk away. That's your net money. I had to see that. I could never understand net money and gross money by somebody telling me. And that's what dyslexia is. You know, if these kids, we can diagnose them at a young age, they're smart. There's 50% of the employees at NASA are dyslexic. That's what they look for.
Really?
Yeah. We kind of see in a 3D image. You know, for example, you know, your wife comes and says, "Hey, Lawrence, what do you see in this picture?" So the love of my life, who's pretty much saved my life in the last couple of years, you know, dug me out a lot of holes. She'll come up to me, "What do you see?" Her and I have never seen the same thing in a picture.
What are you seeing?
You know, it could be, you know, there might be four or five pictures. There might be a lion. You know, we see in a 3D image. We see differently. And so it's an amazing gift if you can catch it at a young age. Like I said, you know, NASA sees it, and that's why you have a lot of artists, architects, you know, a lot of that, because that's the side of the brain that we use a lot more. The other side is rewired the wrong way. But 20% of the population has dyslexia.
One in five.
One in five. So you got cancer that is one in two. Guess what? Dyslexia is next at one in five. Everybody talks about autism. I think that's one in 60 or one in 65. So, you know, you go in the classroom, there's usually about 25 or 30 kids. Guess what? There's five, six, seven, eight of those kids that are struggling personally inside because they don't know how to read.
What was the worst part for you dealing with this and not knowing it?
Just couldn't figure it out, you know. I remember in high school that 2 weeks into freshman year, the English teacher said, "How about Brent, you go in front of the class and read." It still scars me today. You know, the words that I was reading weren't on the page. So the whole class is laughing, you know, just completely making fun of me. And I walked out of class. And like I said, it scars me today. And the reason, you know, I've decided to talk a lot more, I'm not the only one. I know that. And there's millions. I never want another kid to feel the way, you know, I did back then, or the way, you know, I still do today because of it.
How hard is it for you now? Now that you've been diagnosed and you're trying to work through some of this stuff, what's the most difficult part now?
You know, if you catch it at a young age, you can go back, and there's something called the Wilson Reading Program, where you basically almost start the alphabet all over. You kind of retrain your brain how to read. You know what? It's an amazing program. People have major successes for it, and that's what my foundation does, is, you know, picks these kids and tutors them. But I'm 40. I'm not going to go back and, you know, sit and relearn the alphabet, because I can only speak Canadian. You know, this American thing, you know, it's just getting in the way all the time. But, you know, for me, it's writing emails. You know, if I got to write an email, you know, I spend half the time talking to Siri, but she's racist. She never listens to me anyways. I got to type it in and really find out, did I spell it right? So to write an average email takes me 15, 20 minutes because it may auto-correct it, but to me, it looks wrong. Now, you're talking about business world, you know, you spell something wrong, you're like, all right, we'll just delete that. So it's, you know, it's a struggle. It takes a long time. Like I said, I love my life does a lot of emailing for me to, you know, to help me along here to get me, you know, moving in the right track and trying to figure this life thing out.
So what are you going to get done this month? Did I hear you're going to go back to Canada?
Yeah, I'm going to go up to God's country for a few days. And, you know, I'm just going to talk about it a lot more. You know, we just said numbers that are one in five. You know, we figure about half the prisoners in the world have dyslexia. Now, just imagine if we got to 25% of them, what they could do to this world. They could be working at Starbucks. They could be working anywhere, contributing to, you know, to society at any, you know, any single point in time, anywhere. You know, there isn't a lot of people that go out and talk about it, because whenever I say dyslexia, they're like, and I say one in five, they're like, hang on a second, what? So, you know, I'm just trying to raise awareness a lot more. You know, my foundation, you know, trying to raise money. I got a raffle on there. One ticket's $50. Three tickets is $125. First prize, grand prize, is four tickets to the Winter Classic game.
Nice.
A limo ride there and back. Two nights hotel stay at the Thompson Hotel. And a signed jersey from each team.
Okay.
So, not bad, right?
That's pretty good.
And then second prize is two tickets to the game and signed jersey from each team. And all the money is going to go to raising awareness and grabbing kids that won't have the opportunity to get this Wilson Reading Program. You know, the foundation had two students that went through that this summer, completely changed their life. Talking to them, you know, for an example, I had one of the girls, she came, got tutored. When I was going to meet her for the first time, she was bawling coming over. And you know why? Because she was afraid she was going to have to read to me. Wow. Now, you know that feeling? I know that feeling. That's a self-esteem that she has none. And, you know, for an example, I use it as a gas tank. You know, if your self-esteem or your gas tank's half full, yeah, what's it, $20, $40, $50 to fill it up? But what if it's empty? I can tell you right now, my self-esteem tank from my dyslexia side stuff has never, ever been filled up again.
Even after winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, doesn't even fill it up.
Wow. So what steps are you taking to try and build that back up?
You know, every day, you know, trying to get out there with working, you know, reading. You know, it's diving into it, doing things like this. Like, you know, thank you to you for allowing to be here to talk about it, because this helps me out knowing that I'm not the only one, and I know I'm not the only one, but there's parents are out there that have kids that are listening right now that are struggling because they don't know what to do, how to do it. You know, send me an email, get on, I'll get a hold of you. I talked to a father 2 days ago. I'll get on the phone with you. I've had conversations with coaches, parents, because I know if I'm talking about it, you know, maybe I can help their kid. Because the one father said, you know, he's struggling. He's 13. He is doing the Wilson Reading Program. Like, you're on the right path. You're doing the right things. Keep doing, you know, this, this, and this. He goes, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for the reassurance. Thank you for the guidance. Because my gut wrenches every single day for this kid. But the biggest thing, it's hereditary. So it is not going away. You know, we're all looking for a cure for cancer. We're making billions of dollars. This is not going away. If, you know, I pass it on to my daughter, guess what? She's probably going to pass it down when she has kids, and it's just going to go on and on. And if we don't talk about it, it's only going to continue getting swept under the rug. And, you know, that drug problem, alcohol, everything that's going on. Guess what? I was there. I spent time in rehab. Lawrence, you and I did a lot of work together, and you are absolutely amazing to be with. But I'd walk away from the show and I'd be, what do I do? Guess what? I'd start drinking. Why? Because then I wouldn't have to worry about this empty tank of self-esteem that I don't have.
That was a really, really important conversation with Brent Sopel. His organization, BrentSopelFoundation.org, and he's right. And it's so funny because now I can think about some of those moments in hindsight. And what would happen is we would finish the show. It'd be late. Obviously, you're talking about playoff hockey. And Soaps would always say, hey, let's go get a drink. Let's go hang out. And ordinarily, I would have been at Channel 5 probably by 2:30. So we're talking a 9-10-hour shift. So I'd be done. I'd be like, I'm going home. And I didn't realize that this was a guy that was just reaching out. He just wanted to hang. And he had all this self-esteem issues that was going on with him because of his learning disability. I'm really impressed by what he's trying to do. It takes a lot of guts for someone to step up and share that much of their life. And I'm really impressed. So BrentSopelFoundation.org. The reaction that we had when Brent was in studio live was such that I wanted to make sure that we shared this again so that people could find out more, and you could find out perhaps maybe you want to get tested, or you can have your son or daughter or niece or nephew get tested with this situation. So BrentSopelFoundation.org is what you can do. You can check out the mission. You can figure out a way to donate. So thanks, Soaps, for coming in and being as real and as honest as he was about this. And I'm glad to know him. I've really come to be very fond of him over the last few years, now that we have the opportunity to work together and be friends and learn a lot of hockey. And he gave me my first hockey nickname, Holmesy, because you just take a lot of names, you just put a Y on it. So having my first hockey nickname given to me from a Stanley Cup champion is pretty cool, and I'm glad that dude is working on himself and trying to make himself better no matter what. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Bulls. You may have noticed that there are different people calling Bulls games this year. One of them is going to be on the show. I'm going to introduce you to Andy Demetra, and we'll do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.